Welcome to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
I can't get jingle bells out of my head.
That's odd.
Well, remember that time we did the...
Remember that time
we did the Christmas episode?
I do.
And I sang jingle bells.
Oh.
Do you remember?
Yeah,
to this.
You mean
and
our last Christmas episode.
Now when I ever hear this, whenever I hear this, I'm like...
Really?
Bells, jingle
every
bells,
single time you think of jingle
every
bells
every time,
when you
but
hear
this
that?
Time I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I did.
All right.
Okay, don't make
well,
fun of me.
Well, it's not Christmas, so put the jingle bells away
okay.
for another 9 months.
Hey, Jaquel.
Hey, Dad.
What's going on?
So much is going on. I mean, I'm so glad you asked, first of all,
okay.
because we have something very important to discuss.
Oh.
A new album. I'm sure you've listened to every song on it by now and have some important thoughts. And I'm sure you know what album I'm talking about, right?
I don't, actually.
Well, obviously, Justin Bieber's new album.
Justin Bieber put out a new album?
He did. It's called, very apropos for the times, Justice.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
All right, here's my 10-second review.
I need to hear what Justin Bieber says about justice.
Well,
man.
Interestingly enough, a lot of the songs aren't really about justice, just about, you know, romantic relationships.
Imagine that. Justin Bieber? The songs
yeah.
are just about romantic relationships?
I mean,
I can't believe it.
So here's my, well, I don't know, maybe a 15 to 20-second review.
Okay.
Some of the songs are pretty good, and some of the songs aren't. Oh, that was like a 10-second review.
Wow.
I think I'm done.
That was like 5 seconds, Jaquel.
Oh, wow. I should brand this as
that
a new thing.
That was the shortest Jaquel's review I've ever heard.
5-second album reviews.
Okay.
Some songs are pretty good. Some aren't. There, you heard it here
okay.
first,
so
folks.
Listen to some of the songs, not all of the songs.
Age of Minority Reviews, Justice by
okay.
Justin Bieber.
Great.
So what's going on with you, Dad?
That's it? That's all
no.
that's going on with
well,
you?
Well, I mean, there is other stuff going on in my life. For example, when we record this episode...
Hold on. Just wanted to wish you a happy anniversary, Jaquel.
Thanks. Yes, it's my 2-year wedding anniversary today. Very exciting.
Yeah.
I guess, whatever.
I mean, you haven't been married like almost 30 years like me or anything, but
no, it's true.
You know,
but, you
2
know,
years, I mean, little baby.
I mean, you have to start somewhere, don't
you? Yeah, I guess. Just hang in there. You'll catch up.
Well, I mean, technically, I won't. It's.
I mean, you could.
It's scientifically impossible for me to catch up.
Well, I mean, if I die, then,
I guess,
then you
I
catch
guess
up because I'll stop having anniversaries.
All right, this is getting
it'll
dark.
Be my last.
You know, have you heard much about that that
Ooh,
book?
I'm excited.
What is it, like a biography or the story of Spurgeon and his wife? It's called
I don't know anything.
Till Yours Till Heaven.
I don't know. I don't think
you
so.
You haven't heard about this?
No, is
okay.
this new?
I think it's new. Yeah,
whoa.
I'm very intrigued by it. But
I'm
also, I don't
also.
Know, that phrase makes me feel a little sad. It's obviously true, but
yeah,
like
obviously,
Yours Jaquel. Till Heaven, then. You know, sayonara.
You know, you just reminded me of something, seeing as you haven't asked how I'm doing.
I just asked what's
sorry.
Going on with you, and you were like, what is that
I
all?
Forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, don't give me heck for this.
So when I said, or I said obviously, or you said obviously.
So we frequently say obviously.
You know how you and I believe that words matter?
Yes, I
you know,
do know
it,
how
it's
both
almost,
of us believe that.
It's almost like we would do an entire episode on that very
yeah.
subject. But I realized the other day, I said to Mom, you're going to get a kick out of this. I said to Mom, you know, I've noticed something that you say all the time. It's at the end of a sentence of saying something, you say, do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Now, here's the funny part.
Yes.
She got it from me.
Oh. Okay,
because,
that's savage.
Because I said to her, like, I hear you saying this all the time. And mm-hmm. I mean, her and I try to help each other if we
yes.
see filler words. And I'm like, man, and then. All of a sudden, I was saying it, and I said, I'm afraid that I just pointed it out to you, and I'm the one who actually, where you got it from. Now, it's hard to say who got it from who,
sure,
but
sure.
it makes more sense that I would say that
probably.
Than she would,
it
because
would.
I'm talking to somebody, I'm explaining some difficult
right.
doctrine, I say, do you know what I mean?
It's a very pastoral thing to say.
Sure, right?
Yes.
So, anyway, so you have free rein to, if ever I say, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
At the end of a sentence, which is obvious that I know what you mean.
Yes.
You can say, yes, Dad. I know what you mean.
Okay,
because that's
okay,
what's because sometimes it's appropriate.
Yes,
it's,
it is true.
It's funny because Mom and I were talking the other day and she said this string of things and she said, you know what I mean, after one section and it was perfect. It made perfect
okay,
sense.
Yeah.
But then the other one she said, and no, not so much. So,
man, isn't
stuff.
It like the biggest self burn ever though to notice something in somebody else's life that is actually also a problem in yours?
Yeah, but you know, self burns are good.
Oh, they are.
I mean,
they're very necessary sometimes. I mean, the Bible talks about the importance of self burns.
Well,
take the log out of your own eye.
Oh,
do a speck.
Do a self burn before you do an otherly burn.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's the modern Sean
yeah,
Crow version.
Exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's about the most exciting thing going on. on in my life besides the hamburgers.
I was just going to say, you made me a delicious hamburger.
Those were very dope hamburgers.
Very good.
Very, very, very good.
I mean, that really is your OG dish, wouldn't you say?
The hamburger?
I think of the hamburger as a seminal dish in your cooking career.
What is my OG dish?
Because the homemade hamburger specifically.
Yes.
Because that was really, I felt, when you were like, let's take it up a notch. I don't just cook frozen meat. I form meat patties and cook them.
I take the ground beef and I mold it with my hands and I flatten it and I put salt and pepper on that thing and then I throw it on the grill.
And it was a process you went through to refine the hamburger.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that was the turning point.
Yeah, when I write your life history and the big section that covers your history of cooking, I think the homemade hamburger is really going to shine.
Maybe the title should be The Man Behind the Beard.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. The Man Behind a Beard with an Apron On.
I mean, that just flows smoothly. How could any publisher reject that?
I don't know. Jaquel, listen, I think we got to stop wasting time. Because, I mean, like, we got to get this episode done.
But I love wasting time.
No, we've got to be productive, Jaquel.
I prefer to be as unproductive as possible.
No, I think we should be productive. And if we waste all these people's time jibber-jabbering, they're not going to get to hear the great nuggets of wisdom that we have to offer about today's subject. What is today's subject, Jaquel?
I'm so glad you asked, Dad, because despite my jokes earlier...
Oh, you jokester!
We are talking about productivity, or productivity, depending how you pronounce it.
Is it productivity or productivity?
Let's start with this important point.
Yeah.
I always thought it was productivity, but then I heard smart people say productivity, and now I just am perpetually confused.
I am very confused.
I say productivity when I want to feel smart. I'll tell you that much.
Listen, I think it's been a long time since we've called on our good friend, Miss Google. So let's see what Miss Google has to say.
I was actually just looking up old episodes, and I found one where you talked to Google, and I had to put a little note on it that it was like, Google was really quiet on Sean's phone, so in case you missed what the definition of what she said was, here it is.
Okay, I'm going to try to turn Google up. Here we go. Define productivity.
Here's the definition of productivity.
Okay, don't get the print. Stop. I didn't want the definition. I just said the definition. So she said productivity.
Okay. All right.
So thus far, or henceforward, it will be productivity. Right. And if either of us says productivity, we can mercilessly tease the other.
I love it.
Okay.
All right.
So let's talk about productivity.
Productivity. First of all, what is productivity? We're not going to Google for
Google
this.
Google almost
one.
Gave it away. How dare she?
So this is why I wanted to start here, because it is a word that is used a lot, especially in secular business or academic circles. I'm sure you've seen like BuzzFeed articles talking about productivity.
I see BuzzFeed articles all the time, Jaquel.
I'm reading BuzzFeed for hours every day.
Do people go to, do you go to BuzzFeed?
I do occasionally if an article pops up in my Facebook feed or something.
See, the only time I ever go to BuzzFeed is if somebody links a BuzzFeed article. Yeah. I would never just go looking at BuzzFeed.
Well, I think that's how people use BuzzFeed, though. They just somehow, people end up posting them and they come up in your feed at some point. So that's where you go there. Anyways, you probably have heard them in the context of school stuff, or I think in the last 10 years, really, there's been this huge push like productivity resources and tools and apps and just like how important it is and stuff. So I think it's important that we make clear what we are talking about here and what is the emphasis of this episode.
Enough already, Jaquel. Get to the definition, please.
The best definition of productivity I have seen comes from a man I consider a bit of a productivity guru, especially in the Christian world, Tim Challies. He wrote a whole book on it. So he says, productivity is effectively stewarding my gifts, talents, time, energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God.
But what does Tom Challies have to say? Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Oh, his evil twin brother.
I couldn't resist.
So I'll say that one more time. Productivity is effectively stewarding my gifts, talents, time, energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God.
Okay, so when you go to Tim for your definition, it becomes very clear that Christians should care about productivity.
Absolutely.
I mean, if that's going to be our working definition, then obviously...
Obviously.
Jaquel, there's listeners that are literally thinking to themselves
right now.
But
do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying here?
I know what you mean. No, but if you hear that definition, then clearly, yes.
Absolutely.
You know, you want to steward your gifts, talents, time, energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God.
Right, because I think for Christians, so productivity is really about this very lofty goal. It's about a very high ideal. Like, it's not just about, you know, trying to hack our way to having 5 extra minutes of TV time. No, it's about stewarding our time for the good of others and the honor of our King.
But can I just say, I do love productivity hacks.
Yes.
I love them.
I mean, think that's great.
You hit up the YouTube and you say how to do X in 5 minutes and you'll find it.
I think that's good.
I like it.
Well,
yeah.
And I think, Dad, I'm going to just further commend you for that. Because, again, if productivity is, for the Christian, about being a good steward, we shouldn't merely care about it. We should actually invest in considering how to be as productive as we can be.
But my point is, it's fun, too.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, hitting up them YouTube videos and figuring out that you could, like, you know, make a hamburger in 5 minutes instead of 50 minutes. It's like, well, no, cooking is not. Cooking is something that needs to be done slow.
Okay.
Because here it is. Cooking is like an art.
Right.
So being productive. No, you do still need to be productive with cooking.
You do. And in one sense, if you don't take the time to learn how to do it well, then you're going to do it wrong. And it's going to take you longer to figure out how to do it right. So you can be productive by learning how to do it well, even if it takes some time.
Enough of me and my YouTube hacks and my cooking art.
You can share more
with
us later.
Let's talk about why Christians should care about productivity. Like, let's just get into the weeds here.
Yes. Well, I think, as we've kind of alluded to, productivity should matter very much to Christians, because ultimately using our time well should matter to Christians, because the Bible commands it over and over again.
I know, right? It really does have a lot to say about time. And I think the first verse that comes to my mind is Colossians 4, verse 5. Mm-hmm. Walk in wisdom toward... Well, actually, I have to say, the first verse that comes to my mind is Ephesians.
Okay, yeah.
But you put down the one from Colossians, which works. It's almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because, well... We won't get into that, but for now. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting when you think of making the best use of time, just in light of what I just talked about. That may mean trying to get something done faster, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because productivity doesn't necessarily mean speed.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily
mean
getting something done the fastest. Mm-hmm. That's not what's being said here.
No.
Right? So I do like that. You know, you do need to make the best use of your time.
Yeah, and I think James gives us a bigger framework for why we need to make use of the time. So, like, in James 4:14, he says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So time is short. So stewarding our time matters, because we have a limited resource that we are responsible to use for good. And again, that doesn't mean doing things as fast as possible. It means doing things in the best way we possibly can.
Yeah. And so, for the Christian, they're going to ask, well, so what does that mean? And that takes us to Ephesians 5. That was the first place I started, mm-hmm. but I mentioned Colossians 4, so I just went with it.
Thanks for the background info.
But Ephesians 5, I think it, you know, goes further there than Paul does in his letter to the Colossians. He says, look carefully then how you walk, which walking is a euphemism for life. It's a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. There it is, because the days are evil. Now he explains what that means. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Mm. So you're seeking to do the Lord's will in everything that you do, and thus that will result in bringing glory to God, which, again, that's what productivity is all about, stewarding our time for the good of the world and the honor of God. Christ our King.
Exactly. So that was like a little 5-minute theology of productivity, if you will. But we would also like to provide some practical tips and help, because maybe you're like, wow, I have never realized I needed to actually care about being productive, and you've never maybe thought of yourself as a productive person, and now you're like, I need to become more productive.
This is an interesting topic for me.
Yes.
Because you and I are very alike in many ways, mm-hmm. but not in this way.
Yeah.
It's
true. And I personally feel like I have changed a lot over the last, 10 months specifically in terms of this issue. So I do have a lot of thoughts. But what I think is helpful for you and I to both have this discussion is that we approach it differently. And so I hope people listening are able to, you know, take what applies to them, discard the rest, and just like apply it to their specific context.
Well, it's interesting because both you and I have occupations where we are responsible for our own time.
Mm, yeah.
So I mean, there can be benefits to that. There can also be dangers in that. So, I mean, it's something that I have worked on a lot over the years, but I'm not the kind of person to come up with a list and all these things. So mm-hmm. I do want to be upfront and say that these things, that this list, Jaquel put these things together. Yeah. These are things that she thought about and put together. I have been just more, I mean, I don't know exactly how to say it. I am very concerned about productivity. Not productivity.
No.
Oh my goodness. I second guess myself every time I say it.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned about productivity, and I'm very focused on being productive because, I mean, I was just going to give away one of the productivity thieves.
Oh, yes.
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously laziness is a problem and something I'm always on guard against. So anyway, let's just get into these things and I'll let you go through the list.
Okay.
And maybe I might push back and I might, give you an amen. We'll see where it goes.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, so I created this list because these are things that I have implemented in my life and I try to do, and they help me be more productive.
And are you going to, is there a link? Is this an article, right?
No.
This is not an article?
No.
Do you have this list in an article somewhere?
No, I don't.
You
I
don't?
I can't put this list myself.
Okay, so you're just going to have people, you're just going to have to listen and pay close attention.
Listen closely.
And
take
maybe
notes
you can
if you
take
want.
Notes. Yeah. There you go. All right. Sorry. Okay. My bad.
So number one, identify your productivity thieves. And this is a phrase I did steal from Tim Challies. I just really liked how he phrased that. And by that, you know, we mean things that impede your productivity. So again, so Dad mentioned laziness. So Tim Challies, I was going to mention this later, but he wrote an excellent book on productivity called Do More Better that I highly recommend. And that's also on this list. Read that book. It's very, very short, but very helpful. And so he talks about how important it is to identify productivity thieves. And the three big ones he lists are busyness, laziness, and what he calls thorns and thistles, which are kind of like the weeds of your own life that you need to identify what's tripping you up.
And isn't that weird that like busyness is as much a productivity thief as laziness?
Yep.
So when I, okay, so I, what I want you to do is obviously, Jaquel, when it comes to laziness, that's simple because if you're lazy, you're not doing things and you're not being productive.
Yeah.
Explain how busyness, and I know what I'm thinking on this. I want to know what you have to say. How does busyness steal productivity?
Well, it makes me think back to an excellent book I wrote once called This Changes Everything. And the chapter I wrote
on
Time.
Book?
Wherein I talked about how both busyness and laziness can be very poor uses of our time.
Yeah.
And so when I think of busyness, I think about how our culture basically idolizes busyness, how it views an endless hustle as a badge of honor, a kind of hustle that is not a life filled just with good works and, you know, taking care of the responsibilities God has given you, but actually taking on as much as possible so that you can feel a sense of pride, not a good pride, a sinful pride in some sort of like accomplishment and achievement. And I think also it can be, you know, like a denial of taking care of some of the most important things that you should be spending more time on and just like constantly trying to add more so that you can like feel good about yourself. And that is a huge enemy of productivity.
And if you wonder whether this is really true or not, just notice how many times when you ask somebody how they're doing, they say, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. They never say, I'm busy.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful life. It's always like, I'm so busy. It's almost replaced fine.
Exactly.
So you really see this as a problem. Now, for me, though, the thing I was thinking about here is that productivity doesn't mean avoiding rest, right? And busyness robs you of very necessary rest, which will lead you to be more productive.
Exactly.
So I really like that. Busyness and laziness, beware of those two. They're on opposite sides of the spectrum, but both of them can thieve away your productivity.
Yeah, exactly. And you did mention that goes into another important thing on the list. A part of productivity is prioritizing rest and breaks. Mm. You cannot be, you know, the best steward of your time if you're burning yourself out and actually idolizing work so that you don't rest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for Christians, rest is absolutely required. Like, sometimes people think that now, we have done an episode on the Sabbath, and sometimes people think that the Sabbath is just about church, or it's just about, you know, God wanting you not to do certain things and all that sort of thing. But the Sabbath principle, wherever you fall on the doctrine of the Sabbath principle was worked into the warp and woof of life intentionally.
Yeah.
God knew that we needed rest and that we need at least one day in seven to recharge and refresh if we're going to have a productive week. Mm. That one is one of the most important, is prioritize rest and breaks. And I think just because it's not that I'm saying like I'm a super hard worker. I am a hard worker, but I don't have a problem with laziness.
Yeah.
I do have a problem with busyness. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that one, prioritize rest. And it's something that has made a huge difference in my life.
Agreed. Okay, the next thing on the list is a thing that has made a huge difference in my life, especially the last year.
Never heard of.
Okay, well, allow me to educate you about Parkinson's Law.
Okay.
Okay, so C. Northcote Parkinson is this guy who came up with this concept that essentially a task takes the amount of time you allot it. So it fills up to complete the amount of time you set aside to it. So he came up with this in 1955, and he wrote this essay for The Economist. And I'll just read you like this little paragraph that sums it up. So he says, "It is a commonplace observation that work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. Thus, an elderly lady of leisure can spend the entire day in writing and dispatching a postcard to her niece at Bognor Regan, Regis. Sorry. An hour will be spent in finding the postcard, another in hunting for spectacles, half an hour in a search for the address, an hour and a quarter in composition, and 20 minutes in deciding whether or not to take an umbrella when going to the pillar box in the next street. The total effort, which would occupy a busy man for 3 minutes, all told, may in this fashion leave another person prostrate after a day of doubt, anxiety, and toil." Mm. So it's this concept that, he just sums it up. A task will take the amount of time you set aside for it. So I think many students can attest to this. How come you can study for a test so effectively and avoid distraction and avoid procrastination when it's the night before the test and you haven't studied? When you suddenly only have, 5 hours to study for a test, man, you are a very efficient studier. Mm. And this is something I have found true very much since Lucy has been born, because I have, 20% of the time that I used to have to do work, and I have to be so efficient, yet somehow I have been able to get, pretty much most of the work that I was doing before Lucy was born done in like this limited time. Mm. So I found this helpful just to consider, where is your time being used in a way that is not actually benefiting you? Where are you wasting time without even realizing it?
Basically by spending too much time on a task or not enough time, based on the example you just used. Because I wouldn't have been able to tell you that it was called the Parkinson's Law, but this is something that I've had to learn, sometimes the hard way over the last 12 years of full-time preaching. Is that if I leave, if I start working a sermon on Monday and I leave all week to work on it, I can work on that sermon all week. Whereas, if I allot periods of time to work on the sermon, then I have to get it done in that period of time.
Yeah.
So there's a real balance there on figuring out what is the right amount of time for such a thing and then filling that time appropriately, which leads to the next thing on the list, which I'm not sure about this one, but go for it.
So again, this is something that has helped me specifically, and it is tracking my time.
Yeah, and I'm not, let me just say right away, I'm not saying that it's a bad idea to track your time. I'm just not sure how, I think I want to be more general about it. I think it could get, if you're talking about minutes and whatnot, it could get a little bit.
So I think tracking your time is something most people should do, not all the time, but try it out some point, especially if you're trying to figure out where are your productivity thieves, what's going on in your life. It's something I have done at various points in my kind of career in different stages, and I'm doing it right now and finding it very helpful, just in terms of where is my work time going? Not right now, it's not as much to figure out, where I'm wasting time.
Yeah.
But just to understand how I'm using the time that I have.
So how specific are you?
Okay, so I I am specific because I use an app right now. Are you like 5 minutes, right,
took
now.
A drink?
So I, well, okay.
10 minutes
so
went
just
to the
to
bathroom.
Clarify, I just track my work right now.
Okay.
So I don't track if I'm doing like chore okay. time or whatever. Yeah, okay. Maybe I would if I felt like I wasn't
But how specific
productive.
Are you as far as work?
So, like I said, I use an app called Clockify that I just leave open in my browser and I have like all my tasks saved in it. So all I do is I just like hit play when I start a new task and then hit stop when I'm done. And it just automatically records it.
So like say, you know, and here's my question. Like, I don't know how this works because like you're sitting there and you're working away on a sermon and then also, oh, there's an email and you need to respond to that email and you go respond to that email and then you got to move it to there. Oh, and then the phone rings and you got to take the phone and then you know, like, so what?
So I just try to like really, and again, this is where I can probably do this and you can't. I just try really, really hard to focus on one task at a time. And so I respond to all my emails together. I like work
have
on
fun with that.
Work on anyways.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it, you know, it might be more my issue. Like maybe I need to sit down and go, no, forget it. I'm not doing any of those things while I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. But again, this is different. Enough. I think it is something that students should probably follow my path a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is very easy to get distracted.
I'm not saying that it's a bad idea at all. I'm just not sure that I could do
it. Yeah, well, exactly. And this is what I'm saying. Like, no, I'm not saying, like, I think what I'm doing is the right thing for me to do it. But again, different stages of life, different jobs are just going to make this play out differently.
Oh, I mean, I think as far as a student, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I think for students, this would be excellent. And I mean, I'm not saying it would be excellent for anybody who's able to do it.
Yeah.
I think you got to be a specific kind of person to be able to do this kind of thing. But anyway.
Okay, next thing I have found super helpful is using a calendar.
Yeah.
And like using it diligently. Joe and I actually sync our calendar. So we both use Google Calendar and sync it. And that has been really helpful for us. Mm. I color code my calendar. It's a little, you know, crazy. But I find it works. Yeah. Use a paper calendar if you want. I don't know. No. Life is busy.
Don't use paper calendars.
Keep track of They're your responsibilities. Losers. I think it's a way to, you know, be more respectful to other people.
Ever since the day of smartphones, I came to love calendars. Yeah. So I'm all about calendars. But if I had to write, see, back in the day, I used to have like a day timer and I just would never get around
to writing
it. I
can't even imagine you with a day timer.
I know, way back in the days when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, yeah.
Okay, next thing is something we've talked about a lot in many different areas, but I think it's very key in the productivity conversation.
Yep.
Set technology boundaries.
Yeah, especially in light of the last two things we brought up, which was using a calendar, which you use your phone to do, and tracking your time, which apparently also you use your phone
use
to
my
do.
Computer to
your
do
computer
it,
to do with Clockify, which I assume is similar to Spotify, but with a clock. Anyway,
no, not really.
No. So that does mean if you're going to be tracking your time and using a calendar with technology, you're going to have to be careful about that technology.
You are. And also in terms of just technology in general, we've talked about how manipulative it can be and how much it can just like steal your time.
Yep.
So you need to be the one to discipline yourself to set boundaries.
Now for the next one, I think we should bring Mom up.
I know. I am a novice on this compared to her.
Oh yes.
But I still learned everything about it from her.
Yeah, you did.
That is make lists.
Yeah, she is the list queen.
She is. She really is.
Although she does have problems with lists. Like if you look over at the wall there,
yes,
you see her multicolored list. Oh my goodness, there's so many things on that list.
I know. It's organized, categorized. Yeah, I'm not there. But I find lists very helpful.
Sure.
You know, you got a lot of stuff going on in your brain. Get it out. Great. Then you can see it and work from it.
No thanks. I'm not a list. I have never made a list. I don't think I have ever made a list in my life. I just do the things I have to do.
Well, I think the next item on my list is really what has been most helpful to you.
There you go.
And that is to get to know what works for your rhythm and life and mental energy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I think all of these things are excellent. I mean, like, I really do. I think everybody should consider doing all of these things. I ain't going to be doing all those things. But it's not because I haven't tried to over
the
years.
Exactly, you're considering them.
But I mean, like, if people go away from this episode with anything, it's that productivity matters.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we need to be focused on productivity. So whatever you need to do, I mean, like, you know, you could have made a list 10 times this long of things.
Exactly.
There are lots of things that people could do. And we're living in a day and age where there is so much, so many resources available, books and apps and all sorts of things to help you be more productive. There is no excuse for not being more productive in your life. So it's something we need to all constantly be working on.
Amen. Well, really, I mean, the last two things on the list are things you really just mentioned. So something
there's more things? Oh, there's a whole other page.
Only two more things.
Okay, my bad. I thought we were at the end. Man, there, I just that did
was,
this great.
It was such a good wrap-up. Impassioned
plea, but anyway.
Don't worry, you can give it again. Just think about how to reword it slightly after I finish these. Use distraction blockers. So if you're having difficulties with technology boundaries, or if you find yourself constantly procrastinating, there are tools you can use, like the Freedom app, for example. It goes in and
it
blocks. Any like all websites that you want.
So you go to check Facebook and it's like,
yep,
sorry,
exactly.
Sucker, get back to work.
Yeah. And then the last thing is the book I already mentioned. If you want to be more productive and you like really want to study this more, read Do More Better by Tim Challies.
I gotta say, if you need distraction, okay, I mean, whatever.
Bubs.
Whatever. I don't know.
People need to recognize their own productivity thieves. People need to recognize what their own issues are and work to do better.
All right. Well, to wrap this up, hit that back button about 30 or 45 seconds. And Jaquel, you can tell people where to find us.
They can find us on the internet.
Be productive about it.
AgentMinority.com. They can email us at Jaquel or Sean at AgentMinority.com. They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at AgentMinority. And they can even head over to Apple, iTunes, and leave us an honest 5-star rating and review. What a productive way to use your time.
And in light of that, look forward to next week. Speaking of Apple and iTunes reviews, we got a treat for you.
Oh boy. Woo-hoo! This is the first time hearing of it.
Until then, Jaquel.
Oh, this has been Age of Minority.